Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
If you've been joining us, you know that in this month we are talking about a life in Christ. And we've also explained to you why that's important, and we began with the verse in John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." The whole idea of Jesus coming is to give us a life and have it into its fullness. In the King James Version of the Bible, the word full is not used in that version. It's used the words more abundantly. The idea of this word comes from the Greek word perissos, which literally means to have a superior quality of life, a life that is super abundant in quantity, and a life that is beyond excessive advantage. The point of that is that Jesus wants us to have this life, and for us to understand that, I explain to you the best picture of that is in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, take their sit in the company of mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law we meditate day and night." That person, it says, is like a tree. This is the picture of the abundant life in Christ. A tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. In Psalm chapter 1's picture is the idea of a tree that is planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season, as explained last week. These are all about bearing fruit that lasts, which is blessed relationships. Secondly, I explained that the leaves will not wither. And when leaves are not withering, it simply means that that tree is healthy. And when leaves are withering, it means that tree is unhealthy. We also find in the book of Ezekiel and Revelation that leaves are for healing. Therefore, the mark of the abundant life of Christ is first, blessed relationships, but second, blessed health. Thirdly, we talked about whatever you do prospers. And as I've explained to you last week, you need for you to have fruits and leaves, you need to have a trunk and branches to hold those fruits and leaves. Therefore, blessed provisions is the third part of the abundant life that Jesus has for us. The key to this, as I've explained last week, are the root systems. The root system is the invisible part of your life that nobody sees. That is, in fact, our spiritual life. And today I've entitled this message, "The Unseen Advantage." When you know how healthy your roots are, particularly your spiritual roots, then you can expect the abundant life in your life. Now, the first point I want to make is roots are the part no one sees. There's a purpose for roots. The first purpose is roots act as an anchor. Without an anchor, a tree cannot stand. And the purpose of roots is that thing or that part of us that nobody sees, that spiritual life that becomes the anchor for everything else in our lives. In the book of Psalm, chapter 1, verse 3, a continuation of the Psalm 1, the abundant life, it says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Now, notice that it talks about this idea of these anchoring, this root system that holds you strong. But at the same time, those roots are not just there for anchoring. To be planted also means not just to have an anchor, but to have roots that actually absorb and distribute the things of God in your life. In Job chapter 14, verse 7, it says this, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail." It says, at least there is hope for a tree, because even if it's cut down, it will sprout again, and new shoots will not fail. And here's the reason why, because its roots are there, and it may be old, and the ground and the stump might die in the soil. But because the roots are there, yet at the scent of water, because it can absorb the water, it will bud and put forth like shoots, like a plant. Powerful thought. More than just the fact that it is an anchor, it is what this absorbs the things that our life needs. The purpose of roots is that it stores life inside of it. You'll notice that even a stump, as long as the roots are there, will one day live again, because the roots are not just an anchor. They don't just absorb and distribute the nutrients or the water. Roots are there to store life. And when those things are there present in our lives, That root system allows us to become the person who enjoys the abundant life in Christ. Further, it says, the point is, grow your spiritual roots. If you know that the secret is this root system in your life, it's the thing that anchors you, it's the thing that absorbs and distributes for you, and it's the thing that stores life in you. Therefore, the strategy is to grow your spiritual roots. The question is, what exactly are your spiritual roots? Well, the first one is prayer and God's Word. You notice in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, back to the verse that we were looking at, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take a seat, or sit in the company of mockers. Three words I want to draw your attention to. Walk, someone who does not walk, someone who does not stand, or someone who does not sit. In other words, what you do with your time spent walking, sitting, and standing should be in God's presence. The primary fruit of prayer is not the words you speak. It's the amount of time you spend while you're walking, sitting, and standing in God's presence. That is the very anchor, and that's the very source of life that is absorbed in our life. Last week, I talked to you about my 89-year-old mother. My sweet mother, who's actually is 88 and turning 89 in November, her birthday, I had a recent conversation with her, and here's how the conversation went. I said, "How are you doing, Mommy?" And she said, "Joey, I'm at peace in the midst of all that is happening." You have to understand something. The situation in the Philippines is dire. And yet the joy of God in the presence of God, my mother in the presence of God, has this fullness of joy and expressing to me, "I'm at peace in the midst of all that is happening. I'm very grateful for the life that God has given me. And I have no regrets because I've always given it my best. It is important to accept life and its realities, but I believe in the greater reality that God is always with me." The only thing I could say after I heard my mother say that was this: "Mommy, thank you. I love you and I'm grateful for having you as my mother. You are my hero." Prayer is the first spiritual root you have to develop. But also, if we find in Psalm chapter 1 again, God's Word. It says, "But those delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night," when you meditate on the Word day and night, your roots become immovable. Jesus, no less, says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," when you meditate on the Word of God, when you take that Word seriously and delight in it and puts them into practice, is like a man who built his house on a rock. That's what happens when you take the Word seriously as you pray and as you hold dear the Word of God and delight in it. Notice what it says in verse 25. "The rain can come down and the streams may rise and the winds may blow and they beat against the tree," for instance, "and it yet did not fall because it has its foundation on the rock," the Word of God. How do you actually do that? Our minds can run amok. A spider can come in and create webs of lies in our minds. And what the Bible tells us is to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. When we refuse the webs of the lies of the enemy to permeate our minds and to be cobwebbed and trapped the very essence of God's life in us, we will have the abundant life. The first thing to do is to grow your spiritual roots. Your prayer life and God's Word are the things that anchor you, are the things that absorb and distribute in your life, and are the very things that are stored in your life that you can find when something happens to your tree, or life, rather. Now, notice where it says the second part is to proclaim the gospel. More than just pray and God's Word, the proclamation of the gospel is an important spiritual root in our lives. I want to draw your attention to two stories of proclamations. The first story is actually in Luke chapter 2. Both stories are in Luke chapter 2. But the first one is about Augustus Caesar, the great Roman emperor. He issued a proclamation that a census should be taken about the whole entire Roman world, and Caesar Augustus, being the first emperor of Rome, decided he wanted to know who all the people were so he could control them better. Down in chapter 2, verse 8, there were this other proclamation. This time, the whole point of Luke chapter 2 is to give you a contrast of two proclamations. One to enslave people, the other one to set people free. And it talks about these shepherds living out in the fields nearby who kept watch over their flocks at night. But an angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. Proclamation. I bring good news instead of bad news that will cause great joy for all the people." What an amazing proclamation. Good news for all the people. And it says, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and He's the Messiah, the Lord. Today, this great news has arrived. And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, this massive amount of angels, and here's what they said, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." The proclamation of heaven was very different from the proclamation of the Emperor of Rome. One proclamation is, we're going to know who you are, and we can take you captive, and we can do whatever you want to do with you. The other one says, God has given favor to all of mankind. Now, notice in further in verse 17, when they finally ran to try to see the Savior, they began to spread the word concerning what He had been told, what they'd been told about them, about this child. Proclamation is one of the goals and the roots of your life. When that thing is real in your heart, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Our personal proclamations are the things we proclaim about Christ, something that you and I should be doing on a regular basis if we want to grow our spiritual roots and see the abundant life of Christ that was promised to us. I often confess, I am a child of God, not because of anything I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. I am a new creation, created in Christ Jesus. When I confess that, when I declare that, when I proclaim that on a personal level, the chemical reaction of my body changes. When I realize how I'm set for eternity and that God loves me, my spiritual roots grow at a level that cannot be achieved by just prayer and God's word. When I proclaim that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, something happens to me and makes me believe that the future is bright. When I believe that there is now no condemnation and there's nothing on this earth that can actually make me condemned or be brought to court or destroyed, then I can trust that my life will be safe for as long as I make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Personal proclamation should also be administered with public proclamation. A public proclamation of Christ begins with baptism. When we go under the waters of baptism, we're proclaiming to the people around us, whoever can see us, and to our own hearts, that we're burying the old self and resurrecting into the newness of Christ. Public proclamation could also be in the form of good works. When we help the poor and the downtrodden and the disenfranchised and the marginalized, in that way, we serve people and we show them and we become, literally, the hands and feet of Jesus. And finally, when we share the good news of the proclamation of the gospel to others, these acts actually become second nature to us. And the more we do them, the proclamation of the gospel is entrenched further in our own lives. Finally, fellowship. Fellowship with Christ's body is the third way to grow your spiritual roots. It's been said, no man is an island. We need others. Sadly, in these days, people think church is going to a location or sitting in a pew or singing songs. But that's not what the Bible says. Fellowship is actually about loving one another. And you can do that whether there's two people or three people or four people. In fact, very often, that works better or best when there's less. Fellowship says it's not just loving one another, it's about praying for one another. That's, again, best achieved when you're around people of a few number. It's about blessing one another or encouraging one another or even spurring one another to love and good deeds. Fellowship is not just doing a religious ritual or a religious practice on a Sunday, but is actually finding people in the body of Christ whom you can love, whom you can pray for, bless, encourage, or even spur on to love and good deeds. This is what we mean when you say grow your spiritual roots. Prayer, God's word, proclaim His gospel, and finally, fellowship with His body. As I try and land this message, first, roots, the part that no one sees. Second, grow your spiritual roots. The final point I want to make is start with your tap root. The tap root is the biggest root in the root system. It's the biggest root where all the small roots connect. And if you're going to grow a tree or a plant, you need to make sure that that taproot is strong. Start growing with a taproot, and that taproot is prayer. The starting point is when you seek God for who He truly is, your taproot will grow, and out of that will come a desire to seek God in His Word, will come a desire to seek God's people, will come a desire to protect that element of who you are in Christ. And that taproot begins with prayer in the way that Jesus taught. So when you start your taproot, here's how it works. First of all, pray God's way. Jesus explained that there's a way to pray to the Father. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer has simply four components. The first part, it says, Our Father in Heaven, which is the acknowledgement of the presence of God. When I pray in the morning or in the afternoon, the evening, wherever I am, I'm shaving, I'm always seeking the presence of God. When I hear a song or when I'm writing, I don't pray when there's a crisis, necessarily just when there's a crisis. I pray and seek God's presence each and every time throughout the day, because that is the essence of prayer. It's not the words you speak, but that you're literally seeking the presence of God in your life. Secondly, hallowed be thy name. It's about the person of God. It's not just the presence of God, but to know that God is my provider, that He's my Father, that He's the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. When I acknowledge His presence and His person, something happens to my prayer life. Thirdly, Jesus said, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Proclamation that I want to align myself to Your purposes, God. I don't want to insist on my purposes. I want to align with Your purposes. And finally, give us this day our daily bread, which is the set of prayers that answer our provisional needs from God. When you're building your taproot, this is the first place to start. Start by declaring the presence of God, the person of God, the purpose of God, the purposes of God, and the provisions of God. Start with the taproot. But secondly, pray God's word. Many times, we just pray God's way, but we don't pray God's word. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask according to His will, He hears us. If you want to make sure that all your prayers are heard by God, ask according to His will. And how do you do that? Pray God's word. Because every time you pray God's word, you are praying God's will without miss. The secret to growing that taproot, the secret to seeing that abundant life in our lives come to pass, is when we pray God's way and pray God's word. And finally, pray with others. My greatest joy is praying with my wife. My wife is such an intercessor, or even my mother or my children or my grandchildren. Prayer together is powerful. Jesus no less said in Matthew 18, verse 19, Again, I say, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Powerful, isn't it? If it's just two of you agree on earth about anything, think about that, they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let me summarize this short message. God's desire, as Jesus has proclaimed, is to give us the abundant life. The abundant life is about our relationships, our health, and our provisions. The key to that is not any of that, but our spiritual life. The part of us that nobody sees, the roots, the part that acts as an anchor, the part that absorbs and distributes, and the part that stores life for us. Now, secondly, we need to grow those roots. And the way you grow those spiritual roots is through prayer and God's word. Secondly, to proclaim the gospel to ensure that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Finally, to fellowship with His body. Start with the taproot. Pray God's way, pray God's word, and finally, pray with others. As we close this moment of meditating on the Word of God, join me in proclaiming Jesus Christ, our Savior. Would you pick up a piece of bread and a cup so you can join me in this short word of prayer? Lord Jesus, thank You for the spiritual roots we have in You. As Colossians 2 says, just as we have received You, we choose to continue to live in you, being rooted and built up in you, strengthened in the faith as you have taught us, and overflowing in thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.